So, God is the promise maker and the promise keeper. But what was the promise Paul was talking about in Antioch? Well, he quotes three verses from the Old Testament. The easiest one to understand is the final one, Psalm 16. When you get home, have a ponder about the meaning of the others. The first one, of course, where he says, "Today you have become my father. You have become my son, I have become your father." It's not saying that Jesus became the Son of God at the resurrection, but rather that the resurrection declared to everybody that this was indeed true, that here was the Son of God. But here in Psalm 16:10, here's the clear declaration: "You will not let your Holy One see decay." So the promise is that when God's Holy One dies and is buried, he won't decay. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy One was the king. And this psalm, Psalm 16, was written by the king, King David. But have a look down at verse 36. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. So Paul's point here is that the psalm can't have been about King David, because he was dead and buried long ago and his body is just a pile of bones by now. So the promise cannot have been for David, because we know God always keeps his promises. How did God fulfill this promise? Well, of course, we know, don't we, that he fulfilled it in a different Holy One, a different king. And it is, particularly today, or perhaps on Easter Day, so obvious as to how this was fulfilled. But it wasn't so obvious to Paul's first audience there in Antioch. So verse 33, Paul spells it out: what God promised, he fulfilled by raising up Jesus. And verse 37, the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. So God fulfilled his promise made there in Psalm 16 to us by raising Jesus from the dead. So what? That all happened a long, long time ago, and seems a long way from Tunbridge Wells in the 21st century, sitting here behind our masks in a COVID pandemic, doesn't it? How is the resurrection of Jesus fulfilled, is a promise and fulfillment for us today? Well, again, have a look down now at verse 38. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified. So Jesus' resurrection is the fulfillment of God's promise, and it means that you and I can be forgiven and justified. Now, let's be honest, none of us is perfect, are we? Some of us are very conscious of our lack of perfection. We don't keep our promises. We do things we should not do. We don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We don't love our neighbours as ourselves. We are guilty of breaking God's law. And there is nothing we can do about that. Partly because we've already done it, and partly because, try as we might, we can't change. The leopard can't change his spots. We could try and pull our socks up, but they fall down again. I wonder if you've heard about the lady called Tessica Brown. She decided to fix her new hairstyle. She'd done this new hairstyle and she'd run out of hairspray. But she found some Gorilla Glue spray and used that on her hair. She posted a video of herself on TikTok. "My hair don't move." I laughed at that this morning, but it's still funny. "My hair don't move," she said. "You hear what I'm telling you? It don't move. My hair has been like this for a month now. It's not my choice. No, it's not my choice. This is the life I'm living at this point. This is the life I guess I'm going to have to live. Oh, is it funny or is it sad? I don't know, a bit of both. But our sin is a bit like that, isn't it? Not funny, but sad. It sticks. And no matter how much we try and wash it out of our lives, we can't. We can try forgiving ourselves, as the pop psychologists would tell us to do. Or we can leave the past behind us. But actually, we can't. We can't do that. Sin just sticks to us. Guilt just sticks to us. Shame sticks. So how can we be justified? How can we be right with God? How can it be just as though we've never sinned? How can we be rid of our sin and at peace with God? Well, in the end, Tessica Brown had to turn to surgeons to cut the glue out of her hair. Stop laughing. To cut the glue out of her hair and scalp. In the end, we know that our sin just sticks to us and we have to turn outside of ourselves for an answer. We have to turn to Jesus, who fulfills God's promise to take away our sin, forgiving us and making peace with God. As another Old Testament promise tells us, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The Lord has laid on him our iniquities. So Jesus takes away the sin that clings to us and sticks to us like Gorilla Glue. And as we trust him, as we believe in him, it is fulfilled in us. We are justified. It is just as if we've never sinned. We are at peace with God because Jesus has taken away the filth, the sticky sin, and he has taken away God's judgment on our sin. Now, all of this brings us a wonderful freedom. It certainly should be a freedom that we experience in our own lives. I mean, imagine how Tessica Brown must have felt when the surgeons finally got her hair out of that mess. Well, imagine how we should feel when Jesus finally removes that sticky, stinking sin from our lives. We should experience, shouldn't we, a real freedom, a real sense of cleansing and of delight and joy. But of course, for some people, it's really hard to accept that God could forgive them. I'm too bad. It's too hard. I've done it again. I can't change. I'm useless. I'm hopeless. But the promise of God, the secure promise of God, is through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified. And that experience of freedom, of cleansing, of purifying, can be everybody, every Christian's. But if you're struggling with that, then for goodness sake, seek help. Do ask, because it's a freedom we should be able to enjoy. I hope you do. And perhaps it's true that over the years of being a Christian, that sense of freedom has waned. Or perhaps it's true that the sense of the stickiness of sin, that the fact that it is so horrible has waned. And actually, you don't really bother about it too much now. Well, again, we need to realise, don't we, that our sin really was that bad. It did send Jesus to the cross. But what God promised, God fulfilled to us today by raising Jesus from the dead. And through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed now, this evening, to you. through Jesus, everyone who believes is justified. So let's claim that promise for ourselves in the words of our confession now. They'll appear on the screen. Please would you respond with the words in bold. They'll come up on the next screen. Let's pause for a moment. Father, we are sorry for the many times we have ignored you and chosen to satisfy our own selfish desires. For the times we have refused to do our share of the family tasks. Father, we have sinned. Forgive us. For the times we were unkind and impatient with those who needed our time and our care. Father, we have sinned. Forgive us. For the times we were too afraid to stand up for what was right. Father, we have sinned. Forgive us. For the times we refused to forgive others. Father, we have sinned. Forgive us. Father, thank you that though we were once lost in sin, you forgave all our sins, nailing them to the cross, and have given us new life with Jesus. Amen.